I saw on the news that they're trying to make giant salmon. And what is interesting, they have done this before, you know. They have mixed one type of fruit with another type of fruit. But they never really mess with the genetic sequence. So what they're doing now is to take some genes from an eel, I think, and splice it into a salmon to make a giant salmon. I read in Genesis, when any time you go too far, when any time you go too far, the Lord looks down and he says, these people have gone too far. He said, let us go down and see what they're doing. This time when he comes, he's coming with trumpets and loud sounds. So as you look at the news, you better get ready. Genotype. Genotype. Genotype is the genetic material that you receive from your father or your ancestors. So I can look under the microscope, and your genotype is only seen under the microscope. I can look under the microscope and say that this is Drummond's son. So when I'm writing, I would write, the genotypic expression of German is allele so and so and so and so. Forensic medicine does that. There is also the phenotype. The phenotype is not what is hidden, it's what is expressed. So I can look at you and say, boy, that looks like Drummond's son. As a matter of fact, if Drummond doesn't write his name on there, I'm going to put his name in, because the boy looks like him. He has all of the genetic material that expresses itself. Potential. Potential is the ability to do work. If I raise my muscle like this, that is potential. See, the muscle here, it's not going anywhere. It's not doing anything. This is just potential. Okay? And you call this potential energy. And you also have what you call kinetic energy. When I start swinging, potential has shifted now from potential to kinetic energy. Muhammad Ali did not become champion of the world by just potential energy. He had to start some vigorous swinging for it to become kinetic energy and to accomplish something. And work, according to science, if I spend all the time lifting this desk and I haven't moved it an inch, I have not done any work. It's like what my mother used to tell me, you've been doing that all day, boy, and you haven't done anything. You haven't done any work. Saul had an impeccable genealogy. Saul's genotype read like this. He was the son of Kish. And in the Bible, they give you names based on how your character expresses itself. And Kish meant a bow, of stalwart character. Arrows fly. Bows are stable. Arrows is the one that's fly. The bow is what sends the arrow out. And it says Kish was like a bow. That's what his names meant. His father's name, Kish, who would be Saul's grandfather's name, Abiel, means strong. His grandfather, Zerah, says it's a bundle. And that bundle was not just trash. It indicated that he had a bundle of cash. So the father is rich. The father is stable. And the grandfather is strong. And the great-great-grandfather was rich. So there's some old money in Saul's family. And the great-great-grandfather, Beroth, is first birth. And the great-great-grandfather meant refreshed power. And Saul's name meant he was asked for. So could you imagine? They have all of this in their family. They have wealth. They have character. And they're begging for this one boy. And this boy was asked for. So his genotype was one that had a certain lineage. Now, I love what men did of old. We hide that genealogy from women. So that we when we get married, we change their last name. Because if we had their last names still on there, Robertson wouldn't have been Sister Robertson. Brother Robertson might have been the great-great-granddaughter of Sheba. And McGlover would not have been McGlover. Her husband would have named the great-great-great-grandfather of Nefertiti, queen of Angola. But if we're going to do that, we are going to lose some of our last name. Who's going to name Fortune to carry on the name? So our male ancestry in good wisdom changed the last name. I like Mary Popovich's show. Mary Popovich gives this genotype and phenotype so well. The woman would say, look at him. That's his son. Look at his eyes. Look at the mouth. It looks just like him. And then Mary would say, but the results are in. 99.9%, this is not your child. What the mother said was a phenotype. What Mary says, that's the genotype. When Saul received all of this genetic endowment from all of this lineage, and it began to show itself. The Bible says he was a choiced. That's what the King James says. He was a choiced young man, standing head and shoulder above everybody else. That was the genetic, that was the phenotypic manifestation of Saul. Well nourished, money in the family. He was born with servants. It's best to say this boy was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He stood head and shoulder, handsome. You can imagine the girls' email and their Twitter and their Facebook. Sweetheart, I had an accident today. I rear-ended somebody. How come? Girl, I saw him. The physical manifestation of my dream. The husband of my children, the love of my life. Did you talk to him? No, I didn't talk to him. He took my breath away. Tell me more. He's super fine, girl. When he smiled, you should see his grill. He is fine. And Saul's mother and father will be walking in the street, and they will say, hi, Mama Saul. And the dad would say, you know her? Said, no. He knows, she knows Saul. In those days, physics or the physical form was everything. Does he have a job? I don't know, girl. Yes, he has a job. Smile. That's his job. And by the way, they said they got some old money in his family. You got to look into the future. You look like that. That is a basketball player. He doesn't have to practice. He has the talent. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God look at the heart. A choiced young man. Oh, to be young. I wish I could be like Joshua or Dominic or a Diaz or Quito or Devon and Akil or Patrick and Javier, oh, to be young. Boy, you smile and it's all your teeth. That is your hair. I know it. Even you grayed it. Is that going to stay that way? Oh, to be young. When you walk, not even gravity can pull your shoulder down. When I was young, I ran track. One day I ran the 100, the 200, the 400, the 4x100, and they said, you want to run the mile? I said, yes! I'm glad I did that. Now I want a flat house. Because going upstairs is becoming a problem. They tell me that when your heart beats, it doesn't beat like that. It rings. From the bottom, it goes shh, shh. And you get older. when you're young, your ejection fraction is 60%. Now 40 and 20 and backing up. Oh, to be young. I used to read some things one time in a book, and I can tell you if that quotation was on the top of the page or at the bottom, if it was on the right-hand side or on the left. Now I can't tell which book I read. Oh, to be young. And by the way, not only women. Notice. Young men, Uncle Sam does too. Uncle Sam says, let me find some good men. Nebuchadnezzar says, look, bring certain of the kings of seed and of the princes, children in whom there was no guile. Don't you know when you're young, it's easier to be taught? But the worst thing you can find is a young man that would not be taught. Sometimes I think youth is wasted on the young. Just when I'm beginning to realize things and my dedication is in there, my strengths start to fail. So when you're young, you need to make the best of it. Saul was gifted with talent and history, the genealogy and the genotype and the phenotype spelled that this man is bound for greatness. If you were a betting man, you would have put your money in Vegas that this boy, Saul, is going to be something great. He'll turn Israel upside down. So was Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, full of potential. But let me tell you, potential does not guarantee success. Skid Row is full of potential. You talk to them and you're like, what are you doing here? Your language, your diction, your reasoning, all spells that you're bound for greatness. How come you end up on Skid Row? Potential does not guarantee success. With such a great start, with all of this genetic endowment, with all of this family money that's there to back you, how can 1 Samuel chapter 34 read like that? How can 1 Samuel 34, 4 through 5 read that this guy that had so much endowment end up falling on his own sword, committing suicide? Michael Jackson sang a lot of songs, and some of them I don't even know what he sang. But there's one that he sang, Check Yourself Before You Wreck Yourself. That one makes a lot of sense. What went wrong? Something went wrong. With all of this gift, something went wrong. First of all, talent was not the problem. Potential was not the problem. That God gave him potential and gave him talent, that was not why Saul ended up killing himself. Because you know, a certain man went on a certain distance and he gave to his servant, he gave some 5 talents and he gave some 10 and he gave some 1. So that you have talent is not, it does not mean that you are going to destroy yourself. Remember, these are gifts from God. Those who are newly baptized. Do you know that you can receive gifts from God? Spiritual gifts. As a matter of fact, I think that pastors and us, we should have a laying on ceremony. Lord, bless this one. So that when she starts to manifest her gift in this church, we will stand back in amazement. Because this is a gift. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Because God gives gifts. I remember when I joined the church, I said, Lord, please give me the gifts so I can deal with Jehovah's Witnesses. By the way, no Jehovah's Witness come to my house and leave without tears running down their eyes. Because I asked for the gift. I know their doctrine more than they do. Because I asked for the gift. You're in this church, you need to ask God, give me some gifts, Lord. You know, I asked for the singing gift too. But Sister McLavin says, I don't have it. They said it was given to my daughter. By the way, your natural endowment is also a gift from God. It's also a spiritual gift from God. Peter was a natural. He was a natural leader. Look at him. Even before he was converted, he's always jumping to front, always defending. But not until the Holy Ghost came on him that he moved from a fisherman to an apostle. Because the gift, the Holy Spirit now took the natural gift that he had and converted it so that he would become now fishers of men. What a transformation. The execution of Paul, he wrote more things in the New Testament than anybody else because God took that gift. He took that gift and converted it and used it to his own power and glory. Talent is not the problem. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had talent and natural ability, but read how their story ended. Daniel continued on to the first year of the reign of Cyrus. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel still there. Belteshazzar, Daniel still there. Darius the Mede, Daniel still there. Cyrus the Persian, Daniel still there. I tell you something, young people. God has forgiving grace. Forgiving grace. If you sin, he forgive you. He will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. But let me tell you something else. God also has empowering grace. And his empowering grace, he can prevent you from falling. Read about Daniel. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nothing in the Bible records of any deviation from God's will. So you don't have to be restored. You can. The grace of God can. So talent is not the problem. As a matter of fact, talent is never enough. Hear me, church. Talent is never enough. One guy said there seems to be little correlation between a man's effectiveness and his intelligence and his knowledge. Intelligence, imagination, and knowledge are essential resources, but only effectiveness converts them into results. Your talent, potential energy. its potential energy, but it's never enough. If talent was enough, then tell me why 50% of CEOs in the Fortune 500 companies, they got C in college. Tell me why one of your presidents boasted that he was a C student. The last president. Tell me why 65% of our senators finished at the bottom of their class. 50% of millionaires never finished school. So talent is not the problem. As a matter of fact, talent alone is not enough. Saul failed. Talent is as cheap as table salt. Talent is as cheap as table salt. Everybody's got some. Everybody's got some. You just need to find out what it is. Everybody has got some. The difference that separates talented people from successful people is hard work. Hear me, church. Young people. New believers. The difference that separates talented people from successful people is hard work. And don't you mix up talent with discipline and punctuality and hard work. Don't tell me I don't have the talent to get here on time. I don't have the talent to get here on time. You need to set your alarm. God is not going to give you no talent to tell you that you need to wake up at a certain time. You need to get up singing. But Murphy has a talent. But that's just potential energy. I'm sure if you follow him at home, he's blowing that thing for every once that he performs here. He probably blows that thing 50 times at home. I went to lunch last week at somebody's house. Good food. And she sings a lot of church and she leads out. Why does she have a piano at home? She's talented. She shouldn't have to practice, but guess what? All the neighbors can hear her because she's practicing every day. She says, I don't get this. I haven't gotten this note yet. And she's going it over all the time. I tried to recite Daniel chapter 1 this morning. And there again, the older I get, the harder it is to stay. But do you know, by the time it can stay, I've recited it maybe about 50 to 60 times before it stays in your brain? By the way, when you learn to walk, it took you 2 years to walk without falling, right? And your brain was young then. Why do you think that now you must read something one or two times and you'll get it right? It calls for hard work. Talented people, they practice. So talent is not the problem. Saul failed because he refused to do things on God's timing. Saul failed, and this is not an exhaustive list. Saul failed because he refused to do some things on God's timing. He took things into his own hands. Hold one second. Samuel told Saul, you need to wait for me. He told him, Saul, you need to wait for me. But Saul got to this place and he said, and I'm reading from the Message Bible, he waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel. Samuel failed to show up at Gilgal, and the soldiers were slipping away, right and left. So Saul took charge. Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offering. Wait a second, guy. You are the king. There's a difference between religion and politics here. You are not qualified to offer a burnt offering. This is supposed to be done in the done by the Lord. Samuel said, what on earth are you doing, man? Saul said, when I saw that I was losing my army from under me and that you hadn't come when you said you would have, I took things into my own hands and sacrificed the burnt offering. Lord, you're taking too long. You know what happened in Waco, Texas? The misguided Seventh-day Adventist. He expected the Lord to come at a certain time. And he decided that he's going to start the stuff. God has his own timing, guy. God has his own timing. Lord, you're taking too long to come back. Yes, so I'm giving you time to get ready. Lord, I need a man or a woman. I need a wife or a husband. And you're taking too long. My biological time clock is ticking. And my testosterone levels are dropping. Where are you, God? There's a song that we sing here on Sabbath. And I don't know if we realize what we are singing. Are you ready for your blessing? Are you ready for your miracle? Hey, I'm qualified, right? Are you ready for your blessing? You're praying for a husband, and you can't boil water. You want a wife, right? How are you going to support a family? I don't know. Let me tell you, pretty boy. There's a song that we used to love. It says, you can't make love without money, Johnny. Can't make love a hungry belly, Johnny. You might be the only one I'm dreaming of. You might want to doubt, but no money, no love. No wonder God is not answering some prayer. You're not ready. When you start praying some things, you need to be ready. When you start, watch Elisha. Elisha is praying for rain. And he got ready his coat because he expects rain. So if you're going to pray, you better be ready. That was Saul. Look at Daniel. Saul says, I'm not waiting on the Lord. You're taking too long. Look at Daniel. Daniel said, in the first year of the reign of Darius, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years with wherefore the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that we shall be in captivity. And I, Daniel, set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confessions and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeper of the covenant and mercies to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. Saul says, I'm not waiting for you. You're taking too long. The captivity should have been over. And Daniel understood by Jeremiah that the captivity should have been over. But he set his face to know the Lord. Whether you are a king or a statesman or a prophet or a learned, you need to seek the face of the Lord. No matter how talented and gifted you are. No matter if they promote you to be United States Senator, you need, if your story is not going to end up like 1 Samuel 31 And if it's going to end like Daniel chapter 1, verse 21, you need to seek the face of the Lord. And may I tell you that talent is not good enough. They have this song that the kids sing. When I move, you move. Just like that. Just like that. When I move, you move. Just like that. Just like that. The Lord is saying, when I move, you move. Just like that. Just like that. When I stop, you stop. Just like that. Stop just like that. Stop just like that. Because you think because of your good looks and your desk and all of the things that you got going for you that you can accomplish. You're the master of your own destiny. I got my degree. PhD. I'm a lawyer. Hear what this woman said in 1 Samuel. She said, no one makes it in this life by sheer muscle. She was praying for a child. And she says, no one makes it in this life by sheer muscle. Because if you were called by the Lord, you need to wait on the Lord. Your strength, and I say this to new believers and to old, your strength will help you fix your car, but it's not going to help you live a Christian life. Watch at Daniel. It says he prayed 3 times a day. You think he prayed just because he wanted to pray? No, because he had problems fighting sin. Because there's a law in our members that wars against the spirit. And if you're going to succeed, you need to fight the same battle. Saul failed because he loved to self-interpret instructions. He loved to self-interpret clear instructions, better known as rationalization. Saul, I said, this is to be total destruction. Men, women, and children, infants, cattle, and sheep, camel, and donkey, the entire works. You got me, Saul? Yes, says the prophet. Then the prophet says to Saul, Saul says, I have done all that the Lord has said. And the prophet said, so what is this bleating that I hear? The bleating of sheep and the mowing of cattle. And he says, well, I kept back some of the choice cattle at the Abimelech. What about this that you don't understand? To obey is better than sacrifice. Look at Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart. He's heading for Babylon. He hasn't gotten there yet. But long before he got there, he purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the king's meat. Friday night at the movies, Seventh-day Adventist. Friday night at the movies. Friday night at the movies. Or Saturday night at the movies at home. Or at Corcoran or at Edwards. Is not the time to decide that I am not going to become sexually active. You need to start since Wednesday night when they call you and say, we want a date. You say, I will not defile myself with the king's meat, nor his wine which he drank. Long before you got the hometown buffet, you need to say, I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar people. I just don't eat the scavengers that's supposed to eat me when I'm dead. Because I am a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar people. And you need to decide that long before. Daniel lived by abiding principles. Saul lived by the working and the changing of circumstances. For God, for Saul, God seems like a nice and convenient option. For Saul, God was a nice and convenient option. Well, I need him now, I use him now. I don't need him tomorrow because my bills are paid, I drop him. When they're calling me that my house is going into foreclosure, I pick him up. As soon as they tell me that I'm clear, I drop him. It's a convenient option. But for Daniel, it's a necessity. Jesus is all the world to me. Without him, I can do nothing. I will surely fail. But Daniel, you're gifted and you're talented. But gift is not enough for me, says Daniel. It's his gift that he gave to me so that I can show forth his works through my body. As a matter of fact, he brought me up with tender, loving care, brought me from Israel, brought me to Babylon. He brought me through the fiery furnace. And this is not time that I'm going to give up on him. It's great to have great potential. And it's good that you can be converted. But you need to use God's grace. You need to know how to convert your talent, your potential energy into kinetic energy so that we can see the workings of God in this place. God can use you. If he can use anything, Lord, use me. But you just got to be determined. Everybody get by. Nobody got there on flowery beds of ease. And you're not going to get there on flowery beds of ease. You got to show some determination. May God give you gifts. May God give you potential. And may you be wise enough. May you be wise enough so that you do not end up on the scrap heaps of time. And when the roll gets called up yonder, you're going to say, Joseph also ran. And this other person also ran. You've got to give God all of your talent. Talent is not enough. You need to surrender everything to the Lord. May God bless you. May he grant you those gifts so that when you start manifesting it in this place, people will be drawn to call you blessed. And they would say, Sister McGlover, sir. And they would say, Sister Leoma, sir. And they would say, Sister Shondell, sir. But you know what? None of them don't sing like you. You just came here. Yes, but none of them don't sing like you because you've got a gift. And the Holy Spirit has given you that gift. You need to ask him. Yes, we have all been here and we all manifest our gifts. But we want to see how the Spirit works through you. May God grant every new believer a special gift. And may God rekindle the fire under those who have been here and have been gifted. There are some of us who are firefighters. We're constantly putting out the fire that's burning in other people. We constantly put it out. We need to lit the fire under those who are baptized and have been given gifts. Give them opportunities so that they work here. If you can use anything.